Welcome to the Sunday Show with Neil De Beer, politician and political commentator. Neil, you've had a very interesting week. You were almost not here.
Chris, very good morning. So great. I look forward to our Sunday rant and public display of information. As a councillor of the United Independent Movement, my political party, which I'm the leader, had a very maddening week. I was nearly thrown out of council because I decided to use my favorite word, moor, in a discussion with the ANC rabble, who decided that when I said that all matters of policing and systems have collapsed, you know, had to say to me, but I didn't make it to Parliament and that I'm a sellout, number one. I then said the reason I didn't make it to Parliament was because I decided to come back and moor them more. And let me tell you, Chris, ran the jackals amongst the foxes, the hounds and the chickens. And then I was asked to withdraw the word moor, whereupon I said to a very honourable speaker, no, because moor is coffee. I actually only told the ANC I'm coming to make them coffee. So I decided not to withdraw. I was given the option, but I decided to stay. I will stick to my heritage of moor, donner weer en bliksem straal. So yeah, what an epic scenario. But someone at one or other time, Chris, have to stand up and push back and not be told who you are, and what you can say. Especially, Chris, when the ANC leader in the city of Cape Town caucus that very morning walked over to the DA. So I think they were just a little bit sore, and I added to scratch by taking their plaster off and will continue doing so. But here I am. I don't think here I can be kicked out or asked to leave, I hope.
Not by me. Well, let's go to South Africa's latest strike from the US, Neil.
Yeah, Chris, another chamois to the face, nog 'n braaipand in die kop. And you know that morning when you were a bit dazzled after a Groot Oorhofberg evening and you wake up to go make your coffee and you bump your pinky toe. This is the most horrendous and most awful thing, except for when your mother-in-law asks you not to lean with your arms on your table, your moor. America just got up and said that they would ask our military attaché to now also leave the United States. Chris, I don't know who's left. Maybe the domestic worker and the door opener will also be asked to leave. Not only have they asked the military attaché of South Africa to leave the country, but they have also, in an apparent alleged internal document of last week, Chris, decided to surrender all support on a military basis, economically, and are now refusing to also have South Africa participate, Chris, in any military organizational structures, or when they do these massive military maneuvers, that South Africa will now not be invited to participate. Shocking, because another blow to us on a different level.
Well, while we're on the military, maybe they've felt that the attaché doesn't really have a job considering the state of the South African National Defence Force. Neil, we've spoken so often about the state of our army and the Navy, and now we are on the Air Force, where it has emerged that only 6 operational aircraft remain.
Blunder on blunder, Chris. And to sit back and to understand that this Air Force is now running on a total of 8% operational mobility. The fact that we've got between 6 and 16 operational aircraft is a fact, but what no one told us was they might be operational, Chris, but we now hear that they don't have enough technicians to keep them in the air. So now, not only as per last year did I tell you that if Mozambique attacks us with a floundering canoe that our navy would need to surrender, it now seems that if Lesotho decides to attack us with any form of a floundering pilot aircraft, which is as small as a burgundy rose on your lapel, we're also going to get murdered. So I don't know, Chris. We now hear also from our most esteemed Vice President Paul Mashatile that in no way is our withdrawal in the DRC to be seen as a loss. In no way must our removal of our troops in the DRC be seen as the other side having victory, and that they've now decided to give diplomacy absolutely a chance of success. What a lot of utter rubbish. It is defeat. They would not have withdrawn if we did not suffer the sad loss of our sons and daughters, and if the outcry, including this program, were not that harsh to say, what the hell are we doing there in the first place? And to make it even more shocking, Mr. Mashatile says, but in the same breath, he wishes to recognize that the SANDF needs more money so that it can properly equip itself. Mashe no more. That is to say to each other, we are going to do an icing cake with a cherry. You bake the bloody thing and run out of icing and cherries. I don't understand the levels, sometimes, Chris, of IQ. And therefore, if you had to say to me, Neil, are we currently in business rescue in our defense force? I would say we are past it. So definite and drastic decisions now need to be made. And Chris, it's not about money. You can put another 5 billion. It is about the following 5 points, Chris. If you handed me the SANDF tomorrow, I would do the following immediately. Number one, I would do a national asset register of every asset, every movable asset and personnel in this country with immediate effect. Number two, I would recall, yes, I will, every capable person that served in the SANDF in the past 25 to 30 years with a capability to come back in on a scenario of a defense contract to come and fix what we've got because they out there. Number three, Chris, I will immediately ensure that all operational capabilities of the SANDF outside the borders of the Republic are cancelled and withdrawn, and bring back those members to immediately come facilitate an immediate restructuring of the SANDF. Number four, I would immediately invoke again our capability of Arms Corps and Danel. And if those people that were the think tanks and the people perpetrating the greatest effects of armament, I will call them back. And number five, Chris, I would ensure that every arm of the SANDF has got a redeployment of people that are suitable and capable to be in the SANDF. And those 5 steps, Chris, are not being done, and that I would institute as the Minister of Defence.
Meanwhile, Neil, the budget or non-budget seems to have driven the government of national unity to the brink of collapse. The African National Congress is not prepared to compromise on legislation to get the DA's support, and it's looking to other parties.
Well, Chris, more than that, they are releasing the Kraken. They are, again, being the bloody devious ANC that they have mutated into. So, Chris, what we've now seen is that this ANC, and you know, a person must just stop there quickly, Chris. Every Sunday, it seems that we are taking out the wooden spoon and slashing them on their backside. It is not the intention every single day to come here on a Sunday and be derogatory and breaking down the system. Ma vrachtig, if your milk tart collapses in the middle and becomes a souffle, I can't sit there and brag about your milk tart. That is gemors, dan is it gemors. So we have to come to the point where we have to look at this ANC and say to itself, it is becoming desperate to the fact that it doesn't want to work with the DA. It doesn't want to work with its partners. Again, it doesn't want to work with them. It wants to be the leader of them. Now, there is a big difference between being a partner, a colleague, and standing side by side, or you getting up and continually saying, but I am the dictator, I am the leader. Hey, you didn't get the votes. You lost majority. Laat het toch bloody insink soos 'n vars geplonde reën op die Kalahari grond. And if you can't count from 40% to 51, dan is jy duidelik moertoe. You cannot sit anymore as the ANC and demand. You lost this country's support of majority. Now, I don't know, maybe John and Helen and the people must go to Spot Print or any printing entity and get little cards made and show them 40. And then maybe another card that goes 51 minus X, 40. Jou gekomplotte kaktus. So I don't know, Chris, what is this with the ANC that continually makes them deriving of siping soet hanepoot with this ideology that they're still in charge? You are not in charge. So I am saying, if they continue saying that we are going to do this, so we are going to do this, the sneaky, sneaky little thing they're doing, Chris, is now that they're playing bumper cars. Remember in the olden days we used to have, I think at the circus or fight, those bumper cards, and all five of us used to pick on one person. This is now like bumping, bumping, bumping. And they are noticing that the DA and the Freedom Front are a lot groter bumper cars. So sneaky, sneaky, what they're now trying to do, Chris, is either tell the guy that's in charge of the electricity to put it off so that they'll allemaal nou moer toe is, or no, nay, nay. They talking to other people, Chris. Now, who the other? Who the other? Well, let me tell you, they can only be two other. One is the EFF, and the other one is MK. EFF, today, nomslange. Mamela kabane, also unteta nomslange. The EFF has 9.8%. And the MK party, 14.52%. Chris, what do they need to pass the budget? So with their 40%, if they had to go and do a strike deal with MK, they've got majority. Because, hey, Paul, Cyril, 40, I'm going to help you now. 40 plus 14.
Yes.
54. Then they don't need the DA. They don't need anybody. And Chris, this is what we've been warning against. This is what we've been speaking. The ANC is continually sitting and saying, but if you don't, then we will do X. And here's the rumor, allegedly. Guess who's in charge of the discussion currently between the ANC and the EFF? Here's the moment, drum roll, purr, our old friend again, Paul Slimy Mashatile.
Let that sink in. We'll take a second of silence there. Over to the water crisis, Neil. President Cyril Ramaphosa says a new SOE for water will be operational next year. Now, with other SOEs already in crisis, what are the chances that this is going to make a difference?
None. Absolutely none. Chris, last week, we had the water in Durban in this country. Can you imagine? All of us in government get together. We are going to talk about the water crisis. Now, Chris, the president opens this almighty H2O meeting. And what does he say? We are facing a water crisis. Then he says, it is imperative that we get together and start, here we go. Are you ready, Chris? Not solutions, not building of dams in the past 30 years, not ensuring that we look at the current dams. We are now sitting on a scenario where, guess again who has the greatest speech on Friday? That's right, Chris. Enter the room, Paul Slimy Mashatile again. Hierdie ou donder in elke meeting. This guy has got more portfolio meetings than what Father Christmas has on stuffing stockings down a chimney. He's on everything. He's on power, water crisis, army, defense, DRC, police, structuring of inter... Yes, so this guy is a talented human being. So, Chris, Paul says, and we must unfortunately declare that the 2030 water reconstruction plan will unfortunately not be meeting its targets. So, this country, with the most affluent segments of water, with an abundance of capability of the Umzumvubu River, the Orange River. If you go up to the further north, the discussions we had with Lesotho, all of that has now come to the point where they're telling us that we are facing the possibility that the normal citizen will not have sufficient supply of drinkable and usable water. And the answer, Chris, that's right. Here comes Cyril's solution to everything. A national water task team. A NWTT. Now, Chris, the NWTT is going to sit with the National Electricity TT, who's going to have a combination discussion with the National Defense Force TT so that they can speak to the National Police TT. And the National Police TT is going to talk to the National Infrastructure TT. And that NFI TT with the NPI TT and the WITT with the SITT are all going to sit and suck on the behind TT, because not one of these people are going to get anything done except sit around this and say, where's the cow for the next TT? So, Chris, we are TTing ourselves into Murtu, and at the end of the day, the only people that benefit are those people that sit on these TTs and say to each other, yes, but where's the lunch? And then when they get told, but that national lunch TT is quack Murtu, Chris, then we're going to sit back and go, what happened? So come now, South Africa. These kings are naked. And the only thing we can do, Chris, is sit back and go, what's next? It is shocking. It is absolutely terrible. And I'm sorry. Again, I'll say it. If this GNU collapses and it isn't kept into absolute performance of defending us, then the next subject, Chris, that we need to go into is the total disintegration of municipalities.
I was just going to ask you, Neil, let's look at the funding dynamics of our crumbling municipalities and the role of Treasury having to come to the rescue.
Well, it's over, Chris. I'm sorry. You know, when you start looking at percentages of scale, and you say to ourselves that of the more than 270 municipalities in this country, that the factual matter at this moment is they're not getting clean audits. Under correction, I say correction because someone's going to write me the right thing, which I always hope people do correct me, is that more than 80% of the current municipalities in this country are bankrupt. They are currently sitting there and they have got no income, no structural taxpayers. The people that are doing the rates and taxes are going to start the revolt by saying, we are not getting what we are getting. There is an absolute implosion. If you saw the circus this week, again, Chris, that can you imagine COJ, City of Johannesburg, remember that other TT, the Johannesburg National TT, has now declared itself in recess. the municipality that needs the most help in this country, which is going to host the G20, and I think one by one it's going to become the G19, 18, 17, 16, wat hulle gaan sê, not the donor gaat ons soon to. At the end of the day, is going to say to yourself, it's in recess, it's having a bit of a break. So what you are finding at this moment is, look at what happened at Etiquini. Because in the middle of the meeting, so that they can actually pass budgets and quote, they also had a fight between the ANC and the EFF, where it collapsed the sitting. So on an ongoing basis, Chris, the municipalities, which are the cornerstone, that is your bread and butter, Chris. You know what happens in Parliament? But what happens is your home, Chris. Your home, your neighborhood, your block, your town is where you actually must spend 80% of your focus. Your lawns must be cut, your rubbish collected, your sewage system working, the common amenities must be upgraded, and your water and electricity, Chris. Now, can you imagine that 80% of that in this country is non-serviceable? So where are we going to end up, Chris? Where are we going to make the change? Because at this current moment, not do we only have national collapse of entities and SOEs, which there is no more saving of. The best that we can do is to sell it. The best is to take the SOEs and go to privatization and make it a market economy where at least there is then competition, but delivery at the end of the day. So until we don't change the oversight, the capability, the funding, and the structuring of municipalities, we are dead in the water. And that is why, Chris, next year, in the municipal elections, we pray that there could be changes so that we can bring in a new entity, a new revival, and new leadership so that we can at least save the bread and butter entity, which is the municipality. And I must tell you, Chris, it looks like doom and gloom.
You don't think the African National Congress can ever self-correct?
I don't think they think. So even thinking if the ANC can do it, there's a lapse already and a debate I'm willing to have for an hour. They are not capable. They have shown themselves not capable, and they have had 30 years of trying to be capable, and they have absolutely not performed. And this is the problem that we've got, Chris. Even when we thought we bloody fired them, even when we thought we got them now out of power, they're still in power. And we can have another debate on a Sunday show if the saving of the ANC in the short term has now been the destruction of the country on a long term. And that is another debate to be had.
Another debate is chanting "kill the Boer" is not hate speech. The Constitutional Court has had the final say, but AfriForum is going to take this to international forums, Neil.
You know, Chris, one of the most fundamental, joyous matters about me, only one, is that through my veins, where runneth my blood, there is not a single particle in my body that is racist. You know, in this country, Chris, if you can be a absolute non-racial human being, it is probably worth a Olympic gold medal. Because in this country, it is the most important thing that I can profess. I might be a fool, an idiot, ignorant, or dumb, but I am not a racist. I cannot, at any moment in my life, look at color because I fought against it with everything I had. Yes, Chris, I lost a lot. Yes, I drew a lot of enemies from my own and now seemingly from the other side, but I will never in my life tolerate that anybody in front of me is a racist, left or right. So when I speak, there's one thing people do know. I don't have a black and white perspective. I have a human being perspective. And that is something I'm so proud of. Chris, it's not about the song. I had a sporadic debate on Twitter X yesterday, where I wrote to Elon Musk and I said to Elon, Elon, can you bring a new button on X? I'm willing to pay exactly $12. I will pay. And I read it because you should see it blew up. It says, number one, a button that tests your bloody IQ. Number two, a auto block if you become a racist. Number three, a auto block if you've got no reasonable attitude to a debate and discussion. Can you imagine paying and you had such capability? Chris, it's not about kill the Boer, kill the farmer. This is what it's actually about. Because there are few that can tell you the origin or the philosophy of the song. I think one of the people, and you can go Google it, that clearly tried to explain the philosophy and the background of that song, funny enough, a couple of years ago, was Thabo Mbeki. That famous clip where he said, already in his tenure, where it comes from, what the philosophy is, and where it stands in modern society. Chris, this is my view. Just because something is legal does not necessarily make it acceptable. Can I say that again? Just because something, some word, some flag, some song is not classed as illegal, does not necessarily make it acceptable to common society. Chris, the old South African flag is not banned by law. The singing of the stem is not banned by law. The eating of a summery delicious, scrumptious, gebuigde, geknoopte koeksister met condensmelk coffee is not banned by law. But it is acceptable by the majority, yes, of white South African citizens. It must be said that you don't take out that old flag and show it in public. You'll remember the famous matter of Loftus Versfeld. I will never forget it, where a young man walked into a Curry Cup final, in other words, a packed stadium of the Blue Bulls, and pulled out that flag, and other people of same race demanded that he take that flag away. Because it is socially unacceptable. The majority of us that have a bloody IQ and do not let our EQ override our IQ will never allow something that is not acceptable or palatable to society continually be thrown in the faces of those that it will incite. So there's a point, Chris, and I know we're stretching the program, but this is important. You must first decide that you are going to speak to someone that's reasonable, Chris. The law of the world, I don't know if you know, it is based on two premises. One, the test of the reasonable man, and then the Latin phrase, audi altius partem, which means listen to the other side. This is the bastion of law, Chris. Reasonability, and listen to the other side. Now, let's quickly take this litmus test of law. Let's take it. Is the singing, kill the boer, kill the farmer, forget about history, we know the history, it is acceptable that the court has said, it's an historic conclave. Fine, I am reasonable, and I get a bloody car, I get it. Done. Fine. But is the test that by singing such song and farmers are being murdered, is that going to pass the reasonability test? No, it won't. It's not reasonable. It's not coming from a reasonable man that you would sit and sing a song just because you're allowed to by law, but people are being slaughtered. It's not reasonable, Chris. Remember, I'm not a racist. This is IQ debate. And number two, Chris, audi altius partem. Listen to the other side. Have you truly given every opportunity to listen, not to organizations, institutions, and political parties? Hulle moet aan hulle moer vlieg. Can we speak to the families in one massive hall that lost their husbands, daughters, and sons because of farm murder? Only then, Chris, and I think you would need bigger than a town hall. Only then, when you have practiced audi altius partem and you have put those families in a mass meeting, can I then tell you you have passed audi altius partem? In other words, you have listened to the other side. Chris, the EFF, and I'll tell you now, Julius Malema, I know him. What you see outside and inside is not the same man. There must be a national dialogue with that man. No law, no court, no camera. And sit down and say, we must come to reasonability. We must come to the point where, yes, it is legal, but it is not acceptable. Can we not fix it? Because, Chris, going to court, going to the ICJ or bloody Mars is not going to change the majority rabble that can't think reasonably. And then in conclusion, Chris, to land this horrific plane, here's the thing that is absolutely saddening. The apex court of this country is the Constitutional Court of the Republic of South Africa. It is the apex court. One of the pillars, and I was there. I was there in that era of discussion, Judge Albie Sachs and the people starting to construct, which is now known as the Constitution. Yeah, yeah. In die hoekie gesit met 'n tassie. I was an attaché. In other words, an addendum to a lot of stuff. I don't know still today what I was attached to, but donor, I was an attaché. And I saw this, Chris. The dramatic discussion, the influence, and then here it is. One of the most fundamental principles of the Constitutional Court was to allow every law, past, present, and future, to at one or other time be tested, its validity, in the Constitutional Court. Because the Constitution of this country, the Constitutie, which is protected by a constable, at the end of the day, must be the overriding law. You can take any law, Chris, and go test it at the Constitutional Court. And we failed, I believe, this past week. One of the most current, massive division in our society. The song, which, by the way, went through the process. What's the process? Because, sorry, we must end, but this is important. The process is to take such thing to court. It was. To take it then to the Supreme Court. It was. To then take it to the appeals court. It was. And if that all fails, Chris, here enters this massive judicial structure, this saving grace of our fundamental human rights and law, the Constitutional Court. It is there where the epitaph, it is there where the crescendo, it is there where this mass highlight of test, of reasonability, of constitutionality is given. And what does the Constitutional Court do? It writes a solemn one-pager and says that the right to take this appeal to the Constitutional Court is denied. Chris, my opinion, not being a legal expert, there are so many, surely must agree, no matter if you are pro or against the song, that that remedy to bring finality to the table, in my opinion, was justice denied. Not just for AfriForum, not just for the people that I speak a language and part of the Afrikaner, not just for the Boere out there that are feeling intimidated, but also, Chris, maybe for the EFF. Because at that stage, we would have had finality. And I think we lost that opportunity. And therefore, Chris, I appeal to people to say again, you cannot debate a reasonable matter with an unreasonable person. You might as well take a cup of coffee, go sit down and talk mathematics to a cactus in the middle of the Karoo. You will still get this response. So, I think it is a missed opportunity, and I think we should become as a society more sensitive to each other. The end.
Indeed. Thank you, Neil. Just before I say goodbye, a heads up to our viewers. Neil and I won't be on air next Sunday with our Sunday show, but we will be back the Sunday after that. Thank you. That was Neil De Beer, President of a United Independent Movement, speaking to BizNews on the Sunday show with Chris Steyn.